Good morning. Thank you, everybody, for joining this morning's conference call with three-time Emmy Award-winning actor Brad Garrett. He's the star of the half-hour comedy series Till Death and the new online reality dating series Dating Brad Garrett. Till Death premieres in its third season tomorrow, Wednesday, September 10th at 9 p.m. on Fox, and Dating Brad Garrett premieres on Monday, September 15th on Crackle.com. Without any further ado, I would like to open up the line for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. You may remove yourself from queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, for any questions, please press star one at this time. And we do have a question from the line of Jim Hauserman with FutonCritic.com. Please go ahead.
Hey, Brad, how are you today?
Hi, Jim. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Thanks for taking the time today.
You too.
Because you have both these projects kind of going, and they both have to do with relationships and marriage, and you're looking for a new relationship, in regards to Till Death, do you think Eddie and Joy will always be together? Is there going to be any exploring of them maybe splitting up and doing a little single life with both of them? Or
I don't really know if that's what we want to do on the show. I mean, I'm sure we're going to address, you know, how a marriage can evolve or doesn't evolve, and I think we may have a bump or two along the way. I don't know if we're really going to get to where we're exploring single life per se, but you know, they do have a lot of interesting stories coming up, and I think it would be maybe one of us may, but I don't know if it would be, you know, where we're both out and about. I think we have more of a tighter relationship with that. And, you know, we're very vocal about it. We're very expressive. And even though we seem to be yapping and nipping at each other's heels a lot, we do express it and get it out. And I think it's the couples that don't do that that really have the biggest risk of looking outside the marriage.
Okay. And as far as the dating show, can you just talk about how that came about?
Yes, we have one spot available. Actually, what this really, it's important for people to understand that this isn't Brad Garrett looking for love. This is Brad Garrett really making a window around what it's like when a guy going through a semi-midlife crisis is out there in the playing field of the single world. That's really what this is. These are real participants that, it's been a very humbling process because the website has been up and running for a couple months, and out of all the women in the country who felt that they may possibly want to go out with me, only 27 women uploaded their video. And one was a guy and one was a bear. This is very true. This is not, you could go to the website and see it. So it's not only been humbling, but it kind of gives you an idea of what the hurdles I have in real life dating. So what it really is it's just me going out with various women with various ideas and attitudes and wishes and dreams like we all single people have, and how I either berate them or try to get to know them or vice versa. But it's really just it's the anti-bachelor is really what it is. It's the realistic take of a bachelor.
Okay, great. All right, looking forward to both. Good luck.
Thank you.
You bet.
And next we'll go to the line of Greg Hernandez with the Los Angeles Daily. Please go ahead.
Hey, Brad, I saw you on The View yesterday.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, I know it's a little off topic, but sometimes people, when you're on talk shows, because you're always on the edge, you're always
right.
Going on the edge, they get
yes.
a little scared sometimes. So how do you decide how far you're going to go when you're on something like that?
Well, a lot of that boils down to the medication. No, you know what it really is like, you know, I also did Howard Stern yesterday, and I can pretty much do whatever I want. When I'm surrounded by four ladies like I am on The View, I try to be a little bit more tempered. But people really know that when I come on, it could get a little edgy. And folks have to understand it's really part of my personality. It's a huge part of my stand-up. It's really just what I do, and I try to curtail it. Sometimes it gets a little out there, but most of the time I try to you know, I don't have a filter. That's one of my problems. So I just have to kind of try to put things through the little pea brain before they come out. But Whoopi's very familiar with how I work, as is Joy, and I think all in all, there wasn't much collateral damage.
Okay, No, I did enjoy it. I wanted to also ask you about the new season of Till Death. I love you and Jolie together.
Thank you.
Is there anything that we should know? I hear your neighbors are not going to be around.
The neighbors have moved on. They have moved on and actually to different projects, to be honest. And, you know, sometimes when you start a television show, you really don't know what it's about until you get into it. And we have discovered that the strength of the show really seems to be the chemistry that Jolie and I, fortunately, have been able to kind of captivate over the last couple of years. You know, Jolie and I had never worked together. We didn't really know each other. When she came in to read for the part, it was really, really instant. And we're just trying to focus on that marriage and then have characters that kind of come in and out of our lives, as like J.B. Smoove has been a wonderful addition, who is back for a full season this year as well. We just added our daughter has just been cast as Lauren Storm, who's terrific. Tim Sharp is coming back as her boyfriend. So, you know, we're doing a lot of exploring, but at the end of last season, at the end of year two, I think we really started to kind of get our momentum, and we're really trying to see what the show's about.
Great. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
And next we'll go to the line of David Martindale with Hearst Newspapers. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for doing the call.
Sure. How are you, David?
I'm good, thanks.
Good.
I wanted to ask you a little more about the web show. What was the genesis of this? And did you ever picture yourself doing such a thing, even only a few years ago?
Well, you know, I have a really great relationship with Sony. They're obviously the people that the studio who's behind Till Death. And their comedy creative team is just a bunch of very inventive people who seem to kind of be in the wheelhouse as I am, as far as what's funny and what's off the wall. And it actually started one day. I had a meeting regarding Till Death, and I went in there, and the night before I just had a disastrous date, and I started talking about it to a couple of the executives over there. We just started laughing and talking about what it's really like to be a semi-celebrity, if you will, living in a single world with, you know, 30 to 40-something year-old women. And it was really just a very odd date, and we started laughing about it. I said, you know, because I'm not big on reality shows because most of them aren't realistic. And my thing was, like, I would like to just take a camera, go out on a date, go to a restaurant, have totally every single date was non-scripted, and just show what it's like as much as we can to be on a date in this day and times, with a sense of reality of what it really is. And a lot of it's really my humor and my cynicism and my take on marriage, and we throw these poor innocent women in the middle of it. And some of them are really funny, and some of them couldn't get out of there fast enough, and a couple followed me home, and, you know, not in a good way, kind of in a stalker way.
And it didn't, nothing happened with the bear, I'm guessing.
Nothing happened with the bear, no. No, he was intimidated by my size, oddly enough.
I think that J.B. Smoove has been a really great addition to the show.
Thank you.
How did it work out that you were lucky enough to get him, and what do you think of him as an actor and as a comic and as a person?
Well, lucky is the word. You know, we all fell in love with him on Curb. And we thought he would be a great, you know, foil for my character, Eddie. And when we saw him, we just thought, boy, how could we incorporate him in the show? And it was a bit of a real tactical move to really land him here. And Sony aggressively went after him, and we were very excited about it. And then one of our head writers came up with the idea of the Big Brother. This guy was caught in the Big Brother program and never got his brother. We go, God, what a funny way to get into it. And the minute JB showed up, he hit it out of the park from the get-go, and he's been doing it ever since. And he's got an amazing likability about him, and he still has that edge, which is the kind of edge that's such a great counterpoint to, you know, these white folks growing up in Philly. And he was just a great friend for Eddie, because he's a schemer and a dreamer like Eddie Stark. So it was just a great fit. We got very lucky. And as far as off stage, he's just a terrific guy. He's a stand-up like myself and like a lot of the writers on the show. So we could very easily get to the funny, you know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we'll to ask that you limit yourself to one question. We'll move on to the line of Mary Beth Quirk with OK Magazine. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Good, how are you?
I'm very good, and you?
Good, thank you.
Good.
I was just wondering, you've been on two successful scripted shows in your career.
Yeah.
How did you find the leap to the sort of unscripted reality, and was it easier or harder than you were thinking it was going to be, or how did that go for you?
Well, you know, my stand-up act, yeah, I've been doing stand-up for literally 30 years, and the majority of my stand-up is unscripted. I come from the world of improv. I love any show or any vehicle that gives me an opportunity to be in the moment. A lot of times when we're rehearsing on this show, we just sometimes go off on a tangent until death and try little things and experiment. And it's kind of like, you know, what I've said before, that the majority of reality shows are not reality. Even though they call them non-scripted, there is an A, a B, and a C plot and a way to go. These are totally me and, you know, a poor helpless date, in a room together. But to me, the unscripted part of it was what really made it exciting and made it experimental and hopefully gave it a feeling of reality. So I welcome that.
Speaking quickly of reality,
sure.
What are you looking for ideally in a woman if you're not going to find it in an online show? What are you looking for?
Someone who won't run to the authorities. Someone who understands that I'm a big kid who has trouble growing up. And... it's a sweat. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a strong cup of coffee. At least that's what the string keeps telling me.
Great,
you know?
Thanks.
Yeah, but I'm open. We have one slot left. I don't know what you're looking for, but, if you don't have much pride and dignity, I could be the guy for you. Oh, she hung up. Okay, that's not a good sign.
Hi, it's great to talk to you.
How are you? It's great to talk to you.
Good, thank you. I was wondering if you could share your most memorable moment you've had from your various dating debacles.
In real life?
From the show.
From the show. Well, I have to tell you, I know this sounds like a debacle. It was kind of like a dream date for me, not that... Well, what happened is there was one lady, actually she was the last date we filmed, and ironically she was picked by my mother on the panel to be a good date for me. And she was very, very attractive gal, a little Hollywood as far as her various parts, I felt. You know, had a lot of work done, you know what I'm saying? Which is totally fine. I personally believe in evolution, and I welcome it. Hence the way I look. But we started talking about why women feel that, you know, augmentation is so important and how I felt it was very sexy and attractive for a woman to really be who she is. I found that acceptance of someone to not change their body, was kind of cool in the whole thing. And then we started talking about her attributes, if you will, and it kind of got a little defensive in one way, and she ended up exposing her blouse clowns, and that was kind of off the wall. And even for a guy like me, I was quite taken back. And we're engaged. No, I'm kidding. We're not. We're not engaged. We're there's a paternity suit and a restraining order. But so that was kind of off the wall. Nobody expected that.
Well, thank you very much for your answer. Being candid, too.
I'm sorry. I got to be candid. But most of them, I think, decided, boy, I really don't want to be here after they were there with me for a while. But you can't blame them. You know, look at my life.
Did any of them get to meet your children?
Oh, God, no. Oh, no, no. No, no one meets the kids unless I think it's a woman that I'm going to spend some real time with. See, again, people have to understand, this was more of a comedy take on me being single than it was looking for the love of my life. I mean, I'm not that naive. You know, it's just like The Bachelor, you know, the mannequin who stands in the castle with the rose in his hand. These are glorified dates. What I did is I took the glory out of it and just made them real dates. You know, I didn't expect to find the love of my life. I again, just wanted to show people, you know, how scary dating can be.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll go to the line of Mark Snyder with PMP Network. Please go ahead.
Hey, Brett, how are you?
How are you, Mark?
I'm doing great, thanks. I thought the panel on the online show was very interesting. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit how you decided or who decided on the experts that would appear with you.
Well, those are my decisions. I figured the people in my life who I'm closest with, which is my ex-wife, Jill, my mom, who has strange taste in people, my urologist, because, you know, he knows me maybe too intimately, but probably better than my ex-wife, if you know what I'm saying, and my exterminator, who I've literally known for 15 years. I'm a bit of a recluse. I'm a bit of a hermit. So it's not I go out. I knew if I had friends do it, there would be some agenda or ulterior motive. But I figured my exterminator, who really doesn't like me, to be honest with you, would kind of add a different hue to the whole scenario. And then, you know, but it's interesting to watch who you're. My ex-wife, I think, really just picked someone who really, you know, I think she wanted to hurt me. Because this person had an Adam's apple. That's all I can tell you.
Uh-huh.
It's a little strange.
Any chance of this thing going on television at some point?
I don't believe so. No, I don't believe so. It was a lot to do this simultaneously with Till Death, and it just became a lot of work for everyone involved. And I think it was fun. It was great. I enjoyed it, but I think I'm going to focus right now on our show Wednesdays at 9.
Thanks, Brad. It was nice to talk to you again.
Thank you. You too.
Hey, Brad. Nice to talk to you.
And you as well.
I'm calling from Philly, actually.
Yay!
It's
where my dad was born, actually.
Oh, okay, great. That's fantastic. Well, would you ever consider doing some shooting in Philadelphia? I know it's kind of expensive.
You know, we talked about it. We would love to. It's you know, it's a matter of the dollar, you know. But we always talked about doing some type of road or location show there. I don't think it's a possibility at all. I think all of that depends on you know, the almighty buck.
Now, most actors go their entire career looking for a single long-running season, and now you're on your second. How gratifying is it to know that you've been able to play a part of two shows that lasted for so long?
Well, I feel very, very grateful, and you know, it's you know, I'm a lucky guy. I mean, you need a lot of luck, and then when the cameras roll, you know, you got to have this group of writers and directors and actors that just gel, and it seems to literally be happening more and more. So I'm blessed to be surrounded by the people I'm surrounded by. You know, I mean, I got to. There's so much strength and talent, and that has a lot to do with it. And I feel very grateful. You know, there are folks with a lot more talent than I that are not on the air. So, you know, it's a crapshoot. But what was exciting for me was to take on a role that was very different than my Robert Barone role. And this guy's a lot like me, and it's fun to play someone close to yourself. So I'm having a ball.
Well, even before Raymond, you played a pretty legendary sitcom character as the mechanic on Seinfeld. What was that like to be a part of that show?
Well, you know, coming up in stand-up, Jerry was really one of my heroes, and it was just great to be part of. You know, it was their last season too, and second to the last season. And it was, you know, I went in, I auditioned, and I read for Jerry, and I went, boy, this would be great. And it's just amazing the amount of people that remember that role. I'm a bit of a car guy myself, so I am burdened with the personalities of mechanics all the time, and I just kind of took one of a guy that I knew. And but it was a lot of fun. Just to be involved with anything on Seinfeld was really a treat.
So, and next we'll go to the line of Joe Hummel with PopCultureMadness.com. Please go ahead.
Hi, Brad. Thanks for talking to us today.
Thank you.
I want to just relate everything together here. You're doing Dating Brad, obviously.
Right.
And you exposed yourself pretty much last Friday with Stand Up to Cancer with the prostate exam.
Yes.
How do you feel about it? As opposed to doing a role, you're really putting Brad Garrett out there.
Well, you know, as far as the prostate thing, I have to tell you, you know, when Laura Ziskin called, first of all, it's, you know, you take Laura's call, that's for sure. But I knew how passionate she was about this. Phil Rosenthal, who was the creator of Raymond, wrote the bit, and they both called me and they said, look, there are very few people that can get away with this. On a humor level, and there's probably very few people who would even do this. And they said, we want to bring up awareness through humor A prostate exam obviously is something that's, you know, not the greatest 4 minutes of your life. And they said, is there a way that we could gingerly do it and push the envelope and make some awareness? The exciting thing about it is when it aired, there was a company that manufactures a prostate drugs for a rehabilitation. And they wrote Laura a check for $10 million after the spot because they said, you know, it's the first time that anyone has taken this to a place where it's accessible, where it's humorous, where it's real, and then there was a message. So at the end of the day, you know, that's what it's all about. Unfortunately, cancer has touched my life. I lost my father to it last November. He had battled it on and off, various cancers for 20 years, and I'm involved with children's charities. Actually, I have my own charity that I started that helps supplement families with terminal children. So I'm very, very passionate about the battle against it, as millions of people are, and it showed that night with raising over $100 million. So even though I am a guy, even with my crazy rhetoric and whatever I do, at the end of the day, I'm pretty darn shy. So it was not easy. I will tell you that. I had to just put myself out there. But, you know, I was hoping they would go down there and, you know, find my career. Did I lose him?
Next, we'll move on to the line of Tom Rose with
Fancast.com.
Please go ahead.
Hello, Brad.
How are you, Tom?
Thanks for taking the call.
Sure, of course.
Well, to stay on the rectal examination subject here for a moment.
Sure.
One thing, were you sure of the doctor? Was he a real doctor?
Yes, actually, was a doctor I was able to see and meet and greet. And I was going to use my guy, but he wanted too much money, which isn't a joke. I think only in Hollywood, you know, would that happen.
I can understand that. And then, so, how did you feel afterwards? I mean, I know...
We've been dating ever since.
Well, maybe he can take that empty slot on your...
Very good. Thank goodness I'm healthy, and I'm okay, and, you know, I got three friends that are getting an exam this week on a dare, because they said, if you do that, I'll do that. But it's... You know, I joke about it, but I mean, my gosh, it's serious. It's
sure.
You know.
Did you feel confident that you would pass it?
Yes, actually, I did because I had an intense physical literally 10 days prior to that, out of coincidence.
Uh-huh.
This thing with the cancer benefit happened very last minute because they were worried about the sensors. They were worried about getting it passed. They were worried about everything, and it ended up just the publicity it got alone just generated so many eyes to it that, you know, I mean, look, I'm not going to call it a shining moment in my life, but hey, if a few people called in a pledge, you got to love it.
I thought it was great.
Thank you.
What you were able to do.
Thank you.
Next, we'll go to the line of Troy Rogers with Deadbolts.com. Please go ahead.
Hi, Brad. Thanks.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I was just curious, in between seasons, is there anything that you do to get to know Eddie a little more, or by the end of the first season, do you know him inside out?
Well, you know, I have to tell you, it took me a couple seasons to really get to know Eddie. How I played him early on, I wasn't in love with it. I felt he had to be tempered a little bit. I felt he had to be a little more vulnerable and a little more open. So I'm always tweaking him. It's funny, he's closest to myself as anything I've ever played. And if I could just keep that into it and spice him with a little bit of humanity, I feel that the last part of season two, the last part of last year, where I had that swimming episode where I learned to swim because I wanted to do something great for Joy and take her to Hawaii where she always wanted to go, that's really where the guy lives. He's really just a big kid with crazy ideas and schemes to get to that next place in his life where he thinks he belongs, where he can make a better life for Joy. That's kind of the wheelhouse where I want to keep Eddie, and I think it's you know, Jolie hit this role when she was playing Joy. She hit it out of the gate immediately. She knew who she was, and I came from playing such a very different part for 9 years that it was important that this one was as different as it could be from Robert, but still had the quality of believability and who I was.
Now, from your early days of stand-up and appearing on Carson,
right?
Is there anything that stayed with you that helped you until that?
Sitcoms are great for people with stand-up roots because you're in front of that live audience. you know, I think the fear I had when I was on The Tonight Show at 24, you know, you get through a night like that, regardless of how the set goes, and the set was okay, you get this feeling of, well, I can almost do anything. I mean, I walked out on Carson, I did this, I did, and it's all a matter of, I mean, to this day, I have anxiety before, to this day, I get worried or nervous. It never, ever leaves you, but you just get better at it, you know, and that's what I learned. I mean, I look at what I did on Carson when I was 24, and I went, oh my God, you know, I couldn't do those jokes if there was a gun to my head today. So, you know, the key is to always grow and always get better and always risk and do things that scare you. Like the prostate thing. I know it sounds crazy. I was scared, nervous to death. And but, you know, you get away from something like that, and it's literally about conquering the fear, which makes you just a better performer, whether you're a painter or a singer or an actor, really.
This is our last question.
Our last question will come from the line of Jamie Steinberg, Starry Constellation.
Okay, it's great to talk to you again. So,
you too.
Real quick, why do you think people keep tuning in to watch Till Death?
Well, I think because it's hopefully they see themselves in this relationship. You know, the majority of people that are married or in a relationship are trying to make it work. The majority, I'm going to say 90% of people that are involved with someone, it takes a certain amount of work. And I think when viewers can see themselves in a relationship or different colors that their relationship has, I think it's a feeling of comfort. It's a feeling of, yeah, this is okay. This is what I'm going through. Oh, my gosh, my husband just did what Eddie did, or my wife did something that Joy did. That's why we keep, you know, the mantra that I learned from the Raymond people, which I've tried to bring over here, is, can this really happen? And if we keep the writing and the performances within the realm of everyday reality with relationships, then whether something's funny or not, if it's real and believable, we're halfway home. So I'm hoping people find themselves in these characters.
Great.
Thank you very much to everybody who participated in this
call. Thank you, everyone.
As a reminder, Till Death premieres on Wednesday, September 10th at 9 p.m. on Fox and will be airing regularly Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock. And Dating Brad Garrett premieres Monday, September 5th. I'm sorry, Monday, September 15th on Crackle.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Brad.
Thank